Hello and welcome again to more Bible teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and I'm glad you've tuned in because you're about to hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching. So what, you might say? Well, so everything. The verse-by-verse style of teaching God's Word is so vital in today's society. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we look around and we see sin running rampant. We see it being applauded and encouraged. And, you know, why? Is it because sin is greater now than it was back in the day? You know, there's as much sin in the world today as there was when Adam first fell. The sin isn't the problem. It's the truth that's the problem. And if you diminish the truth, you increase the evil and the lies. You know, when you see cars racing and one car will pass up another car, but is that because that car's faster or is it because the other car has slowed down for some reason? And we kind of feel like the landscape of the church in general has slowed down, as it were, and we don't see and hear all of God's Word being preached the way it was meant to and the way it used to. And we're seeing the physical results of the cherry picking of God's Word in our society today and even in our churches. So we created the car wash, the hand car wash called the Wash and Word. The wash part obviously is the washing of your car, and we do it by hand. And we also have a word part of our title, the Wash and Word. And that, of course, is these teachings. You come by and see us over here at the Highway 11W in Churchill. We're in the Powell Shopping Center. And anytime you're in that parking lot, we play these messages on a loop on 107.1 FM. So just any time of the day, whether we're open or not, whether you get your car washed or not, you can tune to 107.1 FM and hear a word from the Lord. Because let's face it, in today's society, in this culture, in the lives that we are encompassed in, we need to hear from God quite often, don't we? And there's not always a church service going on. So we created this parking lot. We want it to be known as a place you can go and hear God's Word. So let's get back into it. One last thing, I invite you to join me for live verse-by-verse Bible teaching Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. Hope to see you there. We are in the book of 1 John in chapter 2, and we already read the first 9 verses. And if you've been listening and following along, there's the unmistakable, poignant direction and correction of John as a writer. You see, John was so black and white, so direct in his teaching and in his writing. And that's good. That's okay. Sometimes we need to hear it that way. And so if you've missed any of the teachings so far and you wanted to get caught up, you can go to washandword.com. In fact, all of our archive messages are there under the media tab. You can download them and listen to them for free. So I encourage you to get caught up by going to washandword.com to hear these. So in verse 10 and 11, we're going to pick it up where we left off. We finished in chapter 9, and you know, the last thing he said is, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. And to sum up our last teaching, essentially, God is saying, you know, and through Jesus said that, look, here is your job. Here is everything you're supposed to do rolled up into two quick commands. Here's all the commands rolled up into two commands. Here's all of the law rolled up. Here's all of the New Testament rolled up into two commands. Love God and love others as yourself. And so we demonstrate our love for God through the love we have for others. And this love we have for others, and I said it with a hyphen in between each word, because look, let's face it, that's the hardest part about being a Christian, isn't it? Being Jesus to other people. I mean, for some of us, it's not as hard in some areas, but for the most part, there's just too many things going on in our life. There's too many people doing too many things that cause us to be so un-Christ-like. And so living a life that's like Christ is one thing, but doing it unto others, that's another thing altogether. But hey, this is how we boil this thing down and we do the thing that God wants us to do, and that is to live in obedience. And so John continues, verse 10, he says, right along the same vein of the forceful, straightforward teaching, whoever loves his brother, lives in the light. Well, thanks, John. That's pretty straightforward. And then it goes on to say, there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. The ever-present connection between loving others and being in fellowship with God is unmistakable in the book of 1 John, especially in this chapter. There is nothing... He's saying, look, I want you to know the demonstration of this type of love is the surest sign that you are walking in Christ, in the light. Because, I don't know if you know this or not, but we can actually hate our brother, and that's just a word for our neighbors, our friends, strangers, just other people. We can actually hate other people without being an instrument of attack. In other words, we don't have to actually attack somebody, whether it be verbally or emotionally or even physically, to be an instrument or to demonstrate hate. We don't have to physically hate someone to still hate them in our hearts. Wishing ill against our enemy is not walking in the light. That's what John is trying to say here. He's not saying you don't have to go off and do something to your brother or to your neighbor to demonstrate the fact that you're not walking in life. He says it's a heart check. Isn't that where Jesus always went with his teachings? He's like, if you have ill will against somebody, if you hate someone in your heart, if you have those bad feelings deep inside, then you're not obeying the word of God. And if you're not obeying the word of God, John equally makes clear, you're not acting like Jesus. And if you're not acting like Jesus, you are not in fellowship with him. And so every time we get to this subject of light and fellowship and darkness, it always goes back to our relationship with others. So in reality, it's so simple, isn't it? All we have to do is demonstrate love for others in our hearts, in our actions, in our words, and we demonstrate the love that we have for Christ. Why is something so easy seem to be so difficult, so in high demand? And so I look at my own life, and look, I'm not here to teach you things that I've mastered. I'm here to teach the Bible and be taught at the same time. I can't tell you how many times my own sermons beat me up. And so I have a lot of work that needs to be done. And if you want to get an amen to that, just come by the Washing Word and talk to my wife. She'll be glad to tell you there's areas in my life that still need work. And so do you, if you're honest. I mean, that's okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's okay to sin. I'm not even saying it's okay to struggle in areas consistently. God has given us everything we could possibly need to overcome. So if we have a consistent struggle in any area of our life, I know you don't want to hear this, but it's your fault. It's my fault. It's our own fault if we continue to struggle, because God has given us everything we need to live a life of abundance and to live a life following after Christ. So, you know, we all have work to do. In fact, there are some prominent people right now whom my heart feels no love for. Some who were in high positions of governmental office who I struggled very hard to be Christ-like in my heart towards that person. I don't have to name names. I don't want to. Maybe you picked up on it, doesn't matter. But those people, them that are hardest to love on, they're the ones that make me a better Christian. They're the ones that draw us closer to Christ by virtue of our weaknesses. And here's the problem with trying to love our neighbor in our hearts, is we can deceive ourselves. And here's a cute little anecdote that might bring this point out a little bit better. The story goes there were two shopkeepers who were bitter rivals, and their stores were directly across from each other, and they would spend each day keeping track of each other's businesses. And if one got a customer, he would smile in triumph over his rival. One night, an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers in a dream and said, I will give you anything you ask, but whatever you receive, your competitor will receive twice as much. Would you be rich? You can be very rich, but he will be twice as wealthy. Do you wish to live a long, healthy life? You can, but his life will be longer and healthier. So what is your desire? The one shopkeeper frowned and thought for a moment, and then he said with a smile, here's my request. Strike me blind in one eye. Now, it's just a cute anecdote to prove a point that, you know, the struggle isn't always in the action, is it? You know, the struggle isn't whether or not I give that poor homeless person a little bit of money or food. The struggle is, how am I responding and reacting to that person in my heart? And whether or not I give is inconsequential when it comes to what's my heart saying in all this, because this is where Jesus always went. He always went to the motivation and the motive of the heart. And so John writes a sort of a poem here as he ends chapter 2. Verse 12, he says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So that's the end of chapter 2, but what we see is a three stage of spiritual growth by who the writing is addressed to. There's children, young men, and fathers. And this is a spiritual growth metaphor in a way. Of course, it's a literal meaning. He is writing to children, young men, and fathers, older men. But the question we need to ask as we come to the end of chapter 2 is, well, what of that progression? How does it apply to my life? What, in regards to that metaphor he's writing here, applies to me? I.e., am I growing? Is my spiritual walk increasing? Am I getting more love for my neighbor, or am I becoming more cynical and bitter? Because I think it's going to go one way or the other. I don't think we can remain neutral in our motive and in our heart when it comes to our regard for other people. We are either getting more Christ-like and more loving, or we're becoming less loving and more bitter. So which one is it? Are you content where you are? Or are you content where you are, but you want to continue to keep growing? You see, contentment is a good way to live, but it is not a resting place. I'm content that I have overcome some of the struggles that I've had in my past, but I can't rest in that place. That's just it's a time to rest, to build up for the next overcoming. And so on a personal level, I'm very judgy. You know, my wife and I will go on a cruise, and one of the things we love to do is to sit there in the lobby and watch people go by, because we like to people watch. You ever heard that? I like to people watch. Look, let's be honest. What is people watching is nothing more than people judging. And we may not be malicious about it, or, you know, have this deep-hearted anger or hatred about people, but when we do that, we're just making ourselves smaller. And it's a conviction that God is working on in my life. And whether for you it's gambling or smoking or drugs or drinking or, you know, whatever that list may be, hey, ask yourself, are we growing? Are we better than we were? And if the answer is yes, hallelujah, praise God, and I'm happy for you. But please don't rest in your contentment. Let's move forward. On that note, we'll close. And I want to again invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship, Sundays at 6 p.m., That's when I do my verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Come by the Wash and Word any time of the day, middle of the night if you want, 107.1 FM, and you can hear God's Word being preached. And finally, come by the Wash and Word
And we'll look to see you there. If you have any questions, go to washandword.com.